other options right now, so why this talk to me?
You're a good speaker.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks. Why else, though? What are your
This
questions?
Is Adam Hailstone.
Anyone? No pain points? Everything's good? Life is rosy? All right.
Okay, mental
and emotional, or just mental?
Mental energy.
What did you say, mental?
And emotional, or just mental?
Oh, mental and emotional. Anyone can relate to that? You get kind of overwhelmed mentally and emotionally?
Yeah. Your son is exhausting.
Your son's exhausting?
I'm tired of fighting.
Oh, and tired of fighting. Okay, cool. Well, the other presentations were kind of about that, but this one's going to be about your energy to keep up with it. Okay. I hear you. All right, I saw a hand back here. Was it you? No? No, okay. No worries. What are your pain points? Why did you come to this presentation? You can admit it. It's okay. Go for it. Okay, following up on with your kids? Okay. Oh, okay. All right, that makes me want to shift gears. I might try to hit something in towards the end that I think is more specific, but I did touch on it yesterday. Were you in that one about the situational leadership? Okay, those are some principles there I would apply. But maybe we'll circle back to that because I didn't feel like we got in depth enough there. Anything else?
We have so much going on in our lives, so it's hard to not just get exhausted trying to do so many things in order.
Yeah. Who here is a yes person? That'll do it, right? That'll do it. So let's talk a little bit about that too. Any other pain points? I love you guys. I'm a homeschool dad, so I feel like I know you. I get it. Yeah, big time. All right, cool. Anyone else? Any other pain points? I want to make sure that we're tailoring this to your actual needs, not just me blathering on. Any other pain points?
Well, just where it says strategies and mindsets to help build it. That's what I need the strategies and the mindsets.
The strategies and the mindsets. That's what we're going to talk about. Okay.
Motivation to be consistent. Okay.
Did you hear my insights of motivation talk at all?
Yes.
Okay. So those are some of the principles, but then we're going to really just talk about your energy on this one too, that will help infuse the choice of motivation, right? Remember, motivation, it's a choice. It's all about finding your purpose, having autonomy, building mastery. That's going to create the motivation. But you got to have energy to do that in the first place, right? Okay. Anyone else? Any final ones? Make sure we're covering our bases here. Okay, but it's safe to assume that everyone here wants more energy, right? You sure? All right, buckle up. Let's get started. Okay, so first of all, let me just get bonesies with you, as my wife likes to say. Get vulnerable with you. I used to be 60 pounds heavier than I am now, okay? I got way overly devoted to work about a little over a decade ago. Way overly devoted to work, really struggled with a lot of health things, and just wasn't living my life in a way that was, one, energetic, right? I put all my energy into one thing and just wasn't engaged in being the human I wanted to be, right? So I learned these principles, okay, that I'm about to teach you. So I've really applied these in my life. They work, they're real, they're useful, okay? Matter of applying them, but that's it. Okay? So I want to start with that because this isn't just a bunch of theoretical stuff. This stuff works. Okay? Alright, let's get into it. Alright. I'm going to teach you 5 principles to build your energy today. Okay? And this isn't specific to homeschooling. This is energy for life. You decide to put it into homeschooling. Awesome. Me too. Right? But you can put your energy into anything. And this will work for your entire life, whether you're homeschooled or not, okay? So this is really not about homeschooling, but homeschooling, as we know, takes a ton of energy, right? So you need this. All right, okay, let's get into it. Principle number one, full engagement, okay? Full engagement is what we're seeking, right? Fully engaged with life, able to do everything that we want to do and get things done, okay? Full engagement requires drawing on four separate but related sources of energy. So often, in other words, we think of energy as physical energy, right? But we've already started touching on, we've been mentally spent, even though maybe energetically or physically you're fine, right? We're emotionally spent, right? Or even spiritually spent, okay? There's four separate but related. They do affect each other very much. Four separate but related sources of energy. Physical energy, emotional energy, mental energy, and spiritual energy, all four matter, okay? That's principle number one. And it's really important that you think about them as these separate groupings. Again, they affect each other, but as these separate groupings. Because sometimes we can, have you ever known someone who's just physically fit and awesome, but emotionally, one little thing, right? We don't want that, right? We want all of the energy that's available to us, okay? So that's what we're going to be talking about, all of that energy available to you. So often, something is off emotionally that actually creates the physical lulls of energy. Something can be so off spiritually, so off mentally, and so forth, okay? They're all interrelated with each other. It's important that we're addressing each of them in our lives. Okay, that's first principle. Second principle, because energy diminishes with overuse and with underuse, we must balance using energy with renewing energy. Okay, this is key. So often, especially as homeschool moms, let's just be real about it. So often, and that's not exclusive to homeschool moms, but gosh, okay? It is common amongst homeschool moms, right? That we spend energy all day long and we don't renew. And we don't thoughtfully renew. And when we do renew, it's in some default sort of fashion that actually doesn't really bring us a whole lot of energy. We're just spent and done. Does that make sense? Okay? So, energy diminishes with overuse and with underuse. So, let's go back a level, okay? Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. When you are underusing any of these categories, your energy level goes down as well, okay? So often with homeschool parents, we are go, 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 go all day long, learn. Spouse might come home, or you get into your evening routine as well. Boom, 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 boom. You're going. You've got things you're volunteering with, work, church, life, all these different things, right? You just go all day long. That's really normal. But oftentimes that might be mental, maybe physical, but often mental and maybe emotional. And the other two you're not even working on. So while one, you're overdoing it. In another area, you might not even be growing or even utilizing your energy very much, right? And just like you can't pick up just one end of a stick, right? The whole thing diminishes over time because you're weak and atrophied in one area, okay? So you have to actually think about, again, all four. And again, because energy diminishes with overuse and with underuse, we must balance using energy with renewing energy, okay? What does that mean, renewing energy? We'll get into more specifics, but it means you are doing specific and intentional things to renew your energy. So often we think of renewing energy as, I'm just gonna stop for a little bit. No. Just stopping, yeah, you might not be using as much energy in that way, but you're not truly renewing yourself, okay? Both are just as important, okay? We always think that we grow our muscles by, let's say, lifting weights or exercising, right? But actually the muscle growth, that's actually tearing down your muscles, right? We all know this, right? Creates little fissures all over your muscle. That's tearing down your muscle. So it doesn't grow. It's in the rest that it grows, right? That it gains. That your body goes, we need to be able to do more, so let's rebuild this a little stronger. It's in the rest that you gain your energy, okay? So rest is just as important as the expenditure. Okay, third principle. Okay, to build capacity, we must push beyond our normal limits, training in the same systematic way elite athletes do, okay? One of the things, if you've ever spent time with elite athletes, when I used to live in Utah, now I live in Colorado, when I used to live in Utah, I trained when I decided to lose weight and get my life together in terms of my energy and so forth. I started training with an elite athlete at a CrossFit gym. He has won the CrossFit Games multiple times. He's a fantastic athlete. And I was surprised as I got to know him over time how much time he spent resting. How much time he spent in downtime doing specific things that rejuvenated his body. And at first I judged him for it. I was like, must be nice, man. Spending all this time renewing your energy. I didn't think of it that way. It's more like resting, right? Must be. And I didn't realize how much that's absolutely needed for him to have peak performance, right? So I started to adopt many of his same practices into my life, and I can show up with energy when I need to because I've adopted those same practices. Okay, so I put two lines on here. This is what you want to shift to. Right now, let's say, this is just an analogy, but the top line here, right, this is what you might be currently doing. Yes, a nice up in energy and a nice low in energy and a nice up in energy and a nice low in energy. What I'm saying to you is in order to grow your energy, you have to go hard and rest hard. Okay? Do things that are truly rejuvenating to you. Okay, so let's pause there. I want you to think about your day, your normal day. Monday's coming, okay? A normal Monday for you. You're going to be teaching kids, yes? Yeah, you're going to be getting up and taking care of yourself, getting ready for the day. You'll be teaching kids, you're going to be going, you're going to be probably cooking some meals, you're going to be doing different things, right, all day long. Then maybe a spouse comes home for some of you or whatnot, right? You're going to go all day long. Are you really pushing past your normal limits? Meaning you're sprinting and then resting, or are you just marathoning all day? It's marathon, right? You're marathoning all day, and no wonder you're exhausted. Okay? What's the difference between a sprinter's body and a marathoner's body? What does it look like? What are the differences? Yeah, the marathoner is gaunt, thin, small as possible. Yeah, lean, sinewy muscle, but really not that strong, right? The sprinter's body is tough. They almost look like bodybuilders, right? They're just strong, right? In order to perform, and more often than not, it's not the marathon that you need to run. More often than not, you need to be awesome in moments. You need to nail it in moments, okay? So you want to think, I gotta make myself a sprinter. I'm gonna be awesome in moments. Because you at your very best is amazing. You've done some incredible things. You at your very best is awesome. You're not gonna be able to do that all day long every day, okay? So plan into your day intermittent rest, okay? So you want to move to this bottom line. You want bursts of energy. Okay, kids, we're going to do this. You teach a lesson. It's short. It's succinct. It's powerful. It gets the point across. Boom. Now I'm going to send you on to go do this project or this task or this thing, and then you rejuvenate. Right? And you plan your day exactly like that. You go burst and go hard. You at your very best. Do your very best things. And then you come back. Okay? And help your students, your children, do the same thing. They can burst and rest. Burst and rest. Okay? That will help you and them grow your energy capacity as well. Okay? So, in other words, in order to really grow your energy, you have to systematically push beyond your energy limits. It's the only way to grow it. And then pull back and really rejuvenate. Really take the time to relax. One thing I started adopting in my life, and you're going to think, how in the world, man? How do you do that? I nap almost every day. I really do. I get in about a 20-minute nap every day. It rejuvenates me, and boom, I can be on to the next thing. Right? I've told that to many of my colleagues, and they're like, whew, lazy. No, I get more done and create more work product than almost anyone around me. Why? Because I am systematically planning into my day intermittent rest. Do that and you'll engage better, okay? You will get more done when you plan in effective intermittent rest. Again, we grow in the rest. To get our body to grow, we got to push past our normal limits, but the growth comes in the rest. Okay. Principle number 4. Okay. Positive energy rituals. This is the key. This is the most important of all the principles I'm going to teach you today. Positive energy rituals, specific routines for managing energy, are key to full engagement. Okay, what does that look like? Every one of us are different, have different wants, desires, needs, and so forth, right? You need to figure out your energy rituals. And they're both in expenditure and in rest. And you develop specific to you rituals that your body can recognize every day and you get into the rhythm of day in, day out, same thing, right? And you do those rituals. And those rituals, you should love your rituals, okay? They're not things like, oh, I have to go to the gym, or I have to, you know, that's not, it's stuff you love. What do you really love doing? Find those in each of your areas, okay? Again, let me go back. Right here. Physical ones. What are your physical rituals to expend your energy? Might be teaching, right? Having a mini lesson, teaching, boom, okay? Emotional energy. Well, how are you expending your emotional energy and then rejuvenate with a ritual, right? For me, that's meditation. And that's different for me anyway than spiritual energy. Yeah, I probably have some spiritual benefits to meditation, but for me, creating a space between stimulus and response through meditation allows me to be more in control of my emotions and have strong emotional energy. Okay? You get it? So create your emotional rituals, your mental energy rituals, okay? And your spiritual energy rituals. And I want to say to you, all of you, do them in short bursts. Start with 10 minutes, 15 minutes, okay? They do not need to be these significant portions of your day. You can be surprised. A 20-minute nap, that's it, okay? How much energy that can bring to you and change everything, right? So define those rituals. So we're going to pause right now, okay? And I want you to flip over a page, if you can, to something blank, and I want you to create a line down the middle of your page, okay? And on the left, you're going to write Monday, and on the right, you're going to write new kind of Monday, okay? So left, Monday, right, new kind of Monday, okay? All right, now I want you to, on the Monday column, I want you to write down a normal Monday for you. What does this coming Monday look like normally? Okay, jot it down and get fairly detailed, okay? You wake up, what do you do? What do you do next? What do you do next? And so on. Write it all down and give it some time frames. You know, from X time I wake up to X time, you know, I'm getting ready for the day. From X time to X time, I'm doing, you know, write it all up, really. Take some time to do that. We're just going to be quiet for a little bit and let you do this, okay?
Hey, man. Like,
do you have ideas? Like what?
I have a list of ideas,
like, what are examples of things for like emotional mental health?
Yeah, let's get into that. Let's come back to it. When we write down our new plan Monday, let's get into exactly that, okay? Cool. Normal Monday. Write it all out. Take some time. It's so important that you see it to really get detailed, okay? If you don't see it, it's going to be so hard to apply these principles to your actual real life. Right? For this point in the day. If they're doing school all day, It's a lot of mental, right? How do you rejuvenate mentally? Does that make sense? You plan in those specifics. Go ahead. Yeah, okay, we're going to get into that, okay? Let's get into that here in a second. Because it's going to be different for everyone and different in each category as well. So it's important for you to pay attention to that. I've noticed that physical and mental need more variation, more back and forth throughout the day. Emotional, a bit less so, okay? So emotional can be once a day rituals. Okay, maybe a couple different ones in the day, but they can be shorter. And spiritual, I love the flow of a week on spiritual, like a real rest day for your spirituality and a real go day for your spirituality. And sometimes you can even split those days into the same day and make it half and half roughly. Okay, so we'll get into that in a second. All right. Okay, so you've written out your Monday, okay? You've written out your Monday. Now, I want you to think about how am I, oh, actually, let's back up for a second. So look at your Monday again. Are you pushing past your normal limits physically? Is there any plan into your Monday where you push past your normal limits physically? Take a look. And even though you're homeschooling and you are definitely using mental energy throughout the day, right? Are you pushing past? Do you have a specific study time for your learning and your learning only? Or you're going hard? Okay? I'm getting some nods and some no's. That's okay. Everyone's different. Look at your Monday. Do you have specific times you're pushing beyond your normal limits mentally? And do you have specific times where you're pushing beyond your limits physically? Okay? All right, what about emotional? Is there any specific rest in there? Or any specific even expenditure in there? And spiritual. See what I'm getting at? No, we're going to get there in a second. We're going to get there to the very specific things. But go ahead.
Do you push past all four every day?
No, I don't, but it's going to be different for each of you. And this is where you apply the principle to your life. But for me, I mostly focus on my mental and physical and a bit emotional each day. And my week tends to flow in my spiritual. In my spiritual. Does that make sense? So, but it's different for everyone. Okay? It depends on your practice, what you're doing, you know, what your experience is, and so forth. Okay? And everyone's a little bit different. So we're going to get into more specifics, and we're going to brainstorm them together because the things that work for me may or may not work for you. Okay? All right. So you can see how your day doesn't have this plan in. So let's create a new Monday. Okay? So let me share with you my Monday. Okay? And this is only an example. I don't want or need you to follow what I do. I'm just giving you an example of how I apply these principles. Okay? I wake up 5:30 a.m. Okay? First thing I'm doing, I don't mean to be gross, but I'm going to the bathroom, okay? I'm going to spend a little bit of time in there. I'm going to get a little time brushing my teeth. I'm going to, you know what I mean? Kind of. But by 6 a.m., I'm going to go hard at the gym, okay? I'm going to go push myself for about 30 minutes really hard, okay? So I go do a strong energy expenditure, followed by another half hour. Okay, from 6:30 to 7, I do another half hour of real rest. And how I like to rest is I do a very simple yet and light yoga routine. Okay, so then I stretch my body, I bring my breath in, I try to match my breath with my movement, right? And I get control of my breath after a real physical exhaustion, right? And I bring it down. By the end of that, I'm actually very energized. I went hard, but then I rested immediately afterward. And now, I feel a lot of energy for my day. I really do. That beginning to my day really works. Then, I go shower, take care of myself again, right? I won't go into details because we don't have time, but like I have a pretty specific routine, like probably most of us do, for showering and getting ready. I get ready. And then after getting ready, there's some other things that I do in there. My wife and I usually connect in that period. And I'm not joking, we do at least a 30-second hug and a little makeout session too. right? And what does it do? It creates oxytocin. If you went to my motivation class, right? We talked about motivation, the love chemical. 30-second hug, okay, is what it takes to create oxytocin in your body, okay? Physical touch for 30 seconds. The mouth has a lot more nerve endings, so if you do a little makeout session, 6 seconds at least. Now, I like a little longer than 6 seconds, but that's me, okay? But a little makeout session, and boom, we just created some real emotional resonance with each other, right? Oxytocin, I usually spend a little bit of time in that complimenting her sincerely, right? She does too. Hopefully this is not too weird for you all, but like we compliment each other, we make out, we enjoy each other for a little bit, okay? And that really does energize us. It's a fantastic ritual, ladies. What was that?
Like how it was during
dating. Yeah, it's like how it was during dating, right? You felt all this bonding, right? Now, it's scheduled, so that doesn't feel all that spontaneous. But it feels great when you just make that your rhythm, right? So we spend time hugging each other, kissing each other, and I won't go into details, but sometimes other things happen, okay? That's between 7 and 8 a.m., okay? Getting some weird looks from the back. Okay? From 7 to 8 a.m., we're going to feel good together, and that's our emotional, that's our real. And you know what's funny? Is we do a similar pattern at night, but there's something about like doing that in the morning that just raises the energy, really brings it up, makes you feel really good. There's the oxytocin that comes from that. And serotonin, you're complimenting each other, right? If you weren't in my class, both oxytocin and serotonin, they're motivation chemicals, they make you feel really good. They require interaction with another person. As opposed to dopamine, or cortisol, or endorphins, or many of the other neurological chemicals in our body, those two, and they're the only two, they require interaction with other people. Okay? They require that to get it. And what's amazing about it, it's not just things being done to you, like someone complimenting you. You get just as much serotonin from complimenting. So you ebb and flow back and forth. Ladies, just start trying this with your husband. Don't even tell him. Just start, hey, can I make out with you for a minute? Just a minute. And you don't make out the whole time, you compliment him a little bit. Oh, I love this, I love that. Ooh, you know? So, there's all this emotional energy that comes up from that. And he will be on a high. Now, he'll probably come in hot at night, I'll just be honest, okay? But he'll be on a high for the rest of the day, okay? That's powerful, okay? So all of that, including getting ready and all that stuff, is happening between 7 and 8. Then from 8 to 9, I study. I do an hour of strong study where I'm learning new things every day. And love, we didn't have, you know, enough time, but I would have loved to have done a seminar on how to read a book. I read a book a week, but I don't read cover to cover, guys. I'm not like a speed reader. I read a book a week because I've learned how to digest a book and get what it's telling me without reading every word. So you can just gain more information, and that's powerful. Imagine reading a book a week and getting the gist of that book, understanding that book every single week. Boom, new epiphanies, new ideas are coming. That you push beyond, you know, you're going hard for an hour, right? But all of the epiphanies that happen throughout the day, because you've been reading those things and making connections, right? Throughout the rest of the day, you're gaining all of these epiphanies. Well, how do you feel when you get an epiphany, when you make a connection? Do you feel energy from that? Yeah, that's powerful, right? You feel good from that. So that pushing beyond your normal limits, there's something about the rest of the day, you're making connections and all these things, and you get these little bursts of energy all day long because you're studying and you're learning so much. And again, most authors, 99%, they feel like they have to give you a lot. And they're usually writing for other academics in that field. You don't need all those details, okay? You need to go through, let me just pause and share with you just a brief version of it. What you need to do is understand the thesis of the book and the thesis of each chapter, and that's all you need, okay? What is this book about? What is it trying to tell me? Write down the points, the principles. Each chapter generally will have 1 to 3 concepts that it's trying to tell you. What are those 1 to 3 concepts? Keep going through all the chapters. You can get through it in a week, like that. And again, I'm not a speed reader. You just need to understand what the book is trying to tell you. And you read enough, and you realize 80% of books out there are repeating each other. So you're looking for the nuggets that are different about that book. What makes this book a little bit more unique? What is this person's point versus that person's point, right? I also draw a lot of diagrams of the book. It's saying these things, and I draw a diagram so I can reference back, look at that picture, and go, oh, yeah, that's what that book was about. Oh, yeah, that's that principle. Does that make sense? All right, so from 8 to 9, I am studying, and then from 9 o'clock on, I'm working. And I generally work until 5, 6, sometimes 7 p.m. Depends on the day, okay? Most days, I'm trying to end at 5, okay? And especially on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm always over at 5. And make that a lock in, but on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'll flex a little bit on that, okay? The reason why is on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I go lift weights. So in my half-hour session every morning, I'm doing something very active, right? Like kettlebell swing, something I'm moving my whole body, and it's a whole body movement, right? I do running somewhat, but I don't love to run. I want full body. I don't want to just be, you know, this area. I want my full body units, right? So I'll get on the aerodyne bike, right, where I'm pushing and pulling and riding. Or I get on the rower. I do kettlebell workouts and so forth, right? I'm doing that for a half hour. That's my cardio. And then 4 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm lifting. Does that make sense? I'm lifting and I'm growing my muscle. And when it comes to lifting weights and going heavy, 4 times a week is the most you should really do. Some say, you know, 5 days a week, but then you're really shrinking those down even more. 4 days is what I recommend, and 3 days is perfect too, okay? You shouldn't push so hard on the weight, but you need that muscle building, because that's going to give you a lot of energy as well, okay? So that's generally what my day looks like until I'm done. And then in the evening, I do another ritual. I make dinner with my spouse. We make dinner together, and our son joins us. We're making dinner. We're enjoying it. We're learning new things. We're trying new things. New epiphanies are coming from, ooh, let's try a little bit of that. We'll just try a little bit of this, and and we have a little fun with all that. We're having a conversation as we're doing it, so we're connecting emotionally as well again, right? We eat dinner together, we sometimes will enjoy a show, or whatever it is, you know, something that we all enjoy together, but the key is that it's high enjoyment. We have fun together in the evening, okay? Because we're all working and busy, and my son's a teenager now, he's 14, so we're all working and busy all day long. So in the evenings, we're going to have some fun together. That's an emotional rejuvenation as well, okay? And then in the evening, it's back to, and again, I'm not trying to be, I don't know, inappropriate, but we're back to, let's connect emotionally with my spouse again, right? A little bit of makeup, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, maybe a massage, you know? And we do those things intentionally together to build that emotional resonance, okay? Now, spiritually, I like to break my week into a couple parts. I like to really invest in other people. So during my day, I'm investing. I'm always teaching, I'm always helping people, and I want to connect with them on a spiritual, emotional. Who are they becoming? I want to help them do that. So I have 180 employees. I'm investing in people. I'm meeting with people, right? I'm talking. We're not always just talking about the work we have to do. Who are they becoming? And I'm investing in them. And there's a spiritual pleasure that comes from them. There's a spiritual benefit that comes from them. And then, especially on Sundays, I take half a day and I significantly invest in myself spiritually. I go deeper into my spiritual practices and I do lengthier meditation sessions, lengthier prayer sessions. Right? I'm doing that throughout that day to rejuvenate myself as well. Okay? So again, spiritual, I'm kind of expending throughout the week and investing in other people. That feels like an energy expenditure to me, right? It's awesome, it's fun, it's rewarding, but it's energy expenditure. And then I take half a day on Sundays and I really invest in myself. Okay? So that's just me. You're going to do your own system. But the key is, especially number four here, positive energy rituals. Specific routines for managing energy are key to full engagement. Okay? I also love to have a great social life. So we throw a lot of parties. We throw a lot of events. We go do karaoke with friends, and I make a total fool out of myself because I cannot sing. But it's a blast, right? Go to live life to its fullest. You know, suck the marrow out of life, right? And you'll find you actually have more and more energy. As long as you're not just expending, but you're planning in specific energy building routines as well, paying attention to your energy. Now, every quarter, so that's every 3 months, I also take a full day, right? And I call it a clarity break, and I take a full day and I just journal. I think about life, what I'm going to do, what I want to be, who I am, who I'm becoming, where I need some course corrections, right? I take a full day away from everyone, and I'll usually spend a couple hours at a coffee shop. There's something about kind of the constant noise, but yet none of it's specific to me. That just lets me kind of zone out, and I'll usually go spend part of the day in nature, really away, where it's real quiet, and I can just be totally alone, okay? So I do that once a quarter at least, okay? So those are my routines. All right, so now let's take a look at your new kind of Monday, and I want you to plan in a new kind of Monday. Get detailed. How can you create a Monday that really works for you? And it's okay, don't be embarrassed to write down, make out with my spouse. There's nothing wrong with that. You like that one? I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Okay, so just for some clarity in my mind,
yeah.
I promise some other people too.
Yeah.
Let's just say you have a toddler.
You have a toddler, yes.
Okay, so
nothing like those toddlers that love to disrupt all that stuff, right?
Let's rebuild the day.
Yeah.
But you have a toddler.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay.
Let's make it clear.
Or two toddlers.
Or
some four. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Guys, they will fall into your routines. Will you get interrupted? Yes. Will you see little hands under the door while you're trying to go to the bathroom? Of course. Okay. Will they be disruptive? But they will flow into you if you are persistent. Will disasters happen? Will stuff come up? Will something break? Will you have to walk away from your routine, right? Well, just this past week, my son was skipping down the stairs and tripped. He's 14, right? Twisted his ankle, and I'm out in the garage doing some kettlebells, and I hear, go. I stop. I run upstairs. There's an emergency, right? And I'm helping him out, taking care of him. We put some ice around his ankle. You know what I mean? Like, stuff will happen. And toddlers, let's just be real, they'll make it happen more often than not. Okay, that's normal. But the more you're persistent, it's not about perfection. Follow this. You know, some days I'll put 50 minutes into my learning, not an hour, right? Some days it's a half hour. It's not about perfection, it's about persistence. Keep going, keep trying, and they'll fall in line with you. Okay, next thing with toddlers, okay? Allow them autonomous time. Create spaces, create environments to where you don't have to be on top of them. For some reason, our generation has been convinced we have to be constantly engaged with our children all the time, all day. No, but, especially the younger they are, the more there can be crises or little problems that will come up, and the more they can be kind of dangerous to themselves. Create spaces where you and fill up all the stuff that they love.
I lost track of time. I forgot to give you the 10 minutes.
Oh, are we over?
So probably wrap up soon.
Okay, I'll wrap up.
I apologize.
Okay, I'm going to go fast on this one.
Yeah, you're good. Finish
right?
though.
But you really got to, and it, again, it's not about perfection. It's all about consistency. Just keep at it. Keep going. And what I found with my little ones, I started on my real fitness journey and this energy journey, right? When I really about 12, 13 years ago when my son was real little, okay? And we had to plan in also offsets. Okay, you're watching and then I'm doing, you know what I mean? We had to plan that in and you figure it out, but they tend to fall in line with you. And I have no problems admitting this. There were periods where I'm like, here's an iPad, play this game. That's okay. Because I also had other periods in the day where I really engaged with him, right? And it's that stuff that he benefited from most. And I was able to show up and roughhouse and do the tough stuff with him, right? That takes a lot of energy because I allowed myself some time away from him as well and sitting with my spouse. And P.S., I did most of the homeschooling. My spouse has always worked. Okay, so I'm more kind of like a lot of the ladies in the room. I had to plan my day accordingly, and I still ran a business at the same time. Okay, but it takes a lot of intention. With me, I know I'm getting a face. It's like, I doubt it, buddy. Just start trying. Just start trying. Just start going.
Here's my next question.
Yeah.
So, what's your teenage routine?
Yeah, he has a very specific routine as well.
Because he's got the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. There's so many things I want to share with you. Okay. So, I call it my three-step parent support plan. This is what I do with every teen. Okay. I would recommend this for every teen. You can go younger, but, you know, teens will work best with. Okay. Once a week, we sit down, we plan out the entire week. We create a checklist for every single day. A checklist for Monday, Tuesday, all the way through Sunday. Okay. There's a checklist for every single day. At this point, because we've been doing this now for 3 years, right, this checklist system, he plans his week. But at first, we would plan it together, okay? And all I do is I sit down with him, and once he's planned it, we review it, and I'll make little suggestions. 80% of the time, I'm not making any suggestions. Looks great. Let's go. You know what I mean? So we plan it in, and then we have a daily check-in. That's something I left off of my daily from before. We have a daily. At this point, basically 5 minutes. You got everything done. At first especially, but still to this day on certain things, I do some spot checking. Did you really get that done? Because you know how teenagers will be like, I got that done. And then you look at the room and you're like, no, it's not really clean, right? So I still do that. I still do a daily check-in and I spot check. And when we make the third step, when we make the original plan, we also plan in sessions for me to support him. Now, he's in my program, Williamsburg Learning, so he's taking classes online. So I'm not educating him all day long anymore. Right? And frankly, I never really was. I brought in other experts and did other things, right? But I had to manage the younger he was, more of my time had to go into it. And now that he's 14, I'm really spending a couple hours a week really supporting him and helping him. And flipping, they changed math. I don't know why they changed math, but they changed math, and I'm terrible at teaching him math, so I got him a tutor. You know what I mean? Like, and that's okay. Outsource it. Find great people to do great things for you. I'm spending a couple hours a week. So that's my three-step parent support plan. I'm about out of time, so let me go to principle number five, okay? Okay, principle number five. This kind of comes back to maybe the core of what you're really saying, or at least how I'm interpreting it. Okay, this is called a gap in the game. Imagine that you're hiking along and you see a horizon line, right? You see a horizon line at the top of a mountain. And that horizon line, that is representative of the ideals in your life. Okay? What we tend to do as humans is we see the horizon line and we make all this progress and work so hard to get there. And as soon as you get to the horizon line, what ends up actually happening? You see another horizon line. And we're always chasing some horizon line. And we measure ourselves against the horizon line. So we're always telling ourselves, I'm not enough because I'm not at the horizon line. But every time you even get close to the horizon line, what happens? It moves. So we're always not enough. The horizon is very important. It's our ideals. It's our wants. It's our desires. It's our hopes, our dreams. It's good to see the horizon line and go after it. But stop measuring yourself against the ideal and start looking back occasionally going, look how far I came. Right? Measure yourself and your progress against how far you've come, not against the ideal. Look for the ideal, shoot for the ideal, go for the ideal, but measure against the past and celebrate it. Look how far I've come. Yes! Right? Celebrate it. Throw parties for it. Have a blast for it. When I dropped 60 pounds, I threw a party that was called Adam's Not Fat Anymore. And a lot of people came, and they were like, you're not fat anymore! and celebrate that. It's good to see the ideal. It's good to dream. Go for it, but measure against where you come from. Okay, guys, thanks so much.